Open your songbooks to number 553, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. A favorite of my dear wife's and several here. Joshua, lead us in Come Thou Fount. For the things that we may miss normally, help us to see your blessings in our lives and in our world, and we know that many of those blessings come through the instruction, the correction, the guidance of our moms. Father, I thank you for every mother who is here today, whether actively a mom or have been a mom or in one way or another, guiding in the lives of others that are younger. Father God, I ask you that you would bless our time together around your word, and that it would all be about the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased our eternal salvation for us while on the cross. Thank you, Father, that our Savior is risen again, that we may have, through faith in him, eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Father God, I ask you that you would also bless the ladies who are here in this course in their life in such a way that they still and continue to, no matter what the situation, honor and glorify you. And Father God, I ask you that we would be an encouragement to them. Thank you again for the breakfast we had earlier and for the guys who provided that. And for those who aren't with us, Lord, we ask that you'd meet their needs. Some are traveling and others dealing with other things. Father God, I ask you that you would bless us in this hour. For your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Valerie. I'd like to ask everybody to take your Bible and stand for our scripture reading. Open your Bible to the book of Ruth. If you start at the beginning of the Bible, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then, of course, Joshua and Judges, and then Ruth, okay? So open your Bible to Ruth chapter 1 and follow along as Tom reads verses 16 through 19.
Good morning, everybody. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if aught but death part thee from me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, all that the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Children's Church is dismissed at this time as we sing one more song before the sermon, and that's Near to the Heart of God, number 510.
Near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
We will be in the book of Ruth, so you may go back there. And I suppose only my mom and my wife know a little bit about this passage. It was part of Juanetta's and my wedding, where Ruth said to Naomi, "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou goest, where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God," was part of our wedding. And wow, has Juanetta gone everywhere I went and lodged everywhere that I lodged. She's a trooper. So anyway, that's just a little personal note. If you're back in Ruth chapter 1, just listen along for a few moments, okay? Luke records these words of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 24, and you can just listen along. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. At least 6 years later, Paul wrote these words to Pastor Timothy, one of the young men that Paul had taken under his wing and helped in ministry and spiritual maturity. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Why do I bring this up on Mother's Day? Well, it is easy to recognize that the statement, "finish my course," that he spoke in those two passages, did not simply have to do with Paul on his deathbed, but throughout various stages in his life. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, according to Philippians 3, verse 5. He lived out that course as a Jewish child. Apparently obedient to his parents, he wrote Ephesians chapter 6 that tells us, "Children, obey your parents." So he had that course as a Jewish child. He became a Pharisee and lived out that course in his schooling and his training. He would have gone to what would be similar to our seminaries, and he finished his courses in seminary, if you will. Philippians 3, verse 5. He was a zealous Jew. He persecuted early Christians who were the young church, if you will. Philippians 3, verse 6. And he finished that course when he was on the road to Damascus. Praise God that God changed his course in life, Acts chapter 9, and converted to Christianity and started a new life and a new course, one that has affected all of us who are sitting here today. God called him out to be a missionary to the Gentiles. Those are non-Jewish people, and made three journeys around the known world, fulfilling that course. You could see the first missionary journey completed in Acts chapter 14, verse 26. He was the apostle Paul. He trained several young men, including Timothy, who I just read that Paul was writing to, which course he also fulfilled. He was a teacher. He fulfilled that course. He had a course a few times and served the Lord as a civil prisoner. He had that type of course also. So as I thought on that and studied the word course, it is dramas in Greek, and it means a race or a career. Let's ask God to guide us as we look into the courses in the life of Naomi in just a few moments, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we realize that every person in the Bible lived out a certain period of time doing that which you brought into their lives one way or another and lived out that course. And Lord, I ask you that each of us who are present here today will recognize right now you have us in a course of this life where we are in like a career, if you will. May we honor and glorify you, Heavenly Father, in the course you've set before us. And the mothers that are here, the grandmothers, great-grandmothers, Father God, I ask you that you would guide in their course of life too, that ultimately our strength would come from you. As you've told us in Philippians chapter 4, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Of course, the word course is a race or a career. We often think of like mountain bike courses. I know Cass has ridden his motocross bike on motocross courses, and some of you have done that. Some of you are interested in flat track or maybe even auto racing courses. There are marathons and biathlons and triathlons. Those are courses, and we can get the picture of this. No one who participates in a course like that sees this as the end of life, just a race, one of many in life. We think of it as a career also. I know people who have retired from two courses or careers, and they're in a third now. Interesting. A career can be just one of several stages in our lives. The word finish, teleo, means to accomplish or to complete it. So as we go through a course in life, by God's grace and His strength, we should complete that, not leave it unfinished. So today is Mother's Day. Now I'd say that's a race. I'd say being a mother is a race, maybe more like an obstacle course. Next few minutes, I'm going to be silly, okay? It starts at the wedding, this obstacle course for mothers. A young usher who had never before participated in a wedding asked an arriving guest, "Are you a friend of the bride or the groom?" "I'm a friend of both," said the person. "I'm sorry, madam," the youthful usher replied. "I'm afraid you'll have to choose a side. I haven't been told where to seat the neutrals." And then children come along in the home after the wedding. "A baby is God's opinion that the world should go on," stated Carl Sandburg. A mother had just brought her newborn triplets home from the hospital, and her older boy, a four-year-old, took his first doubtful look at the new babies and said, "We'd better start calling folks. They're going to be a lot harder to get rid of than kittens." Then there's work, okay? The cleaning your house before kids have stopped growing, says Phyllis Diller. Some of you would know who that was. Cleaning your house before the kids have stopped growing is like shoveling the walk before it stops snowing. Too many of you nodded quickly in agreement. Time of teaching and instruction is part of this course. "Honey," scolded the mom, "you shouldn't always keep everything for yourself. I've told you so many times that you should let your brother play with your toys half the time." "I've been doing it," the boy replied. "I take the sled going downhill and he takes it going up." Then we begin to observe the distinction between parenting and grandparenting. The harried housewife sprang to the telephone when it rang and listened with relief to the kindly voice in her ear. "How are you, darling?" it said. "What kind of day are you having?" "Oh, mother," said the housewife, breaking into bitter tears, "I've had such a bad day. The baby won't eat. The washing machine broke down. I haven't had a chance to go shopping. And besides, I just sprained my ankle and have to hobble around. On top of that, the house is a mess and I'm supposed to have two couples to dinner tonight." The mother was shocked and was full of sympathy. "Oh, darling," she said, "sit down, relax, and close your eyes. I'll be over in half an hour. I'll do your shopping, clean up the house, and cook your dinner for you. I'll feed the baby, and I'll call a repairman I know who'll be at your house to fix the washing machine promptly. Now stop crying. I'll do everything. In fact, I'll even call George at the office and tell him he ought to come home and help out for once." "George," said the housewife, "who's George?" "Why, George, your husband. Is this 284-1373? "No, it's 284-1376. "Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I have the wrong number." There was a short pause. Then the young woman asked, "Does this mean you're not coming over?" There are funny things from children's perspectives, too, like Grandpa, the little boy asked as he turned from Sunday school, or returned from Sunday school, "Were you and Grandma in Noah's Ark?" Kids do that all the time. "Of course not," replied his grandfather, huffily. "Why weren't you drowned then?" "Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do," said one little child. "Because it's hard to understand." That's the baby talk. When they read to us, they don't skip or mind if the same story is read over and over again. That's a grandmother. Everybody should try to have a grandmother, another child said, especially if you don't have television, because they are the only grown-ups who have time. Pretty special. Yes, mothers and grandmothers are a special part of our lives. Now, this is, of course, the day to honor our mothers for their love for us, for their sacrificial care for us, for their guidance and prayers for us. I know my mom prayed for me a lot, for clean socks and the flower gardens and the veggies on the table and much, much more. Thank you, Mom. For those who are older moms whose children have grown, you know that motherhood is not the final act. It's not the final course. It's not the end or the goal of all things. Motherhood is a course that God may allow in your life for a time, a blessed time at that. Years ago, I enjoyed preaching through the book of Ruth. There are only two books in the Bible that have ladies' names attached to them, and this is one of them. Esther is the other. Of course, 2 John was written to the elect lady, and then the Song of Solomon to the fairest among women, the Rose of Sharon. But the rest of our time, I will take us back to Naomi in Ruth, in the book of Ruth, and point out at least eight courses in this dear lady's life. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." This was Naomi's first course in this passage, and we'll understand that she was a Hebrew of Bethlehem, and she was an Israelite. Naomi had grown up in Israel. She was well known in the little town of Bethlehem, as we just read a few minutes ago in verse 19. Everybody knew her when she returned. She was familiar with life in that region, and she knew about how to gather food, the customs of the land and the people. You'll see that in chapter 2, verse 19. She had grown up under and knowing the customs and the beliefs of her people. She understood the religion of the Jews and embraced the God of the Bible. Verse 16, of course, where Ruth says to Naomi, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Naomi embraced the God of the Bible until one day, her husband announced that they were moving to Moab. So that course of her life immediately changed to a new course, didn't it? A lot of you can relate to that. She had known, all that she had known so well was finished, and they left her people, they left her family, and they left her way of life for a new home and a new way of life. And many of you have experienced that course change. Naomi did as well. And you can do it with God's help. The second course in her life was as a foreigner in Moab. She was now a foreigner. Naomi was forced to start a new life in a new place among different people and learn new customs. According to the fourth verse of this chapter 1, and they took them wives of the women of Moab, her sons did, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. So she had this 10-year course in her life that was very different than anything she had ever known. Though the language of Moab was similar, Naomi had to learn a new dialect of Hebrew. The national deity of the Moabites was Chemosh, a pagan, idolatrous form of religion and activity. And it was condemned by God in 1 Kings chapter 11 and called the abomination of Moab. She was surrounded by that. Everything was different in Naomi's life. What a difference from Bethlehem to Moab. Though Naomi never, apparently, worshipped Chemosh, she was surrounded daily for 10 years by those practices. By the way, the little one that just went out, of course, that mom has a course in life right now, doesn't she? Or aunt, I guess, in this case. So this was a new life for Naomi over in Moab. Naomi had to learn how those things worked in Moab and care for her husband and her sons and her home in that foreign surrounding. And maybe some of you can relate to that course in her life. Very few of us in this room have lived here in Eureka, Montana all our lives. I haven't. Most of us have moved from one time to another, from one, it seems like, culture to another, and learned to do things in a different way. So we can kind of relate to Naomi, although the change from Bethlehem to Moab was greater than most of us have ever experienced. Another course in her life, the third one, was as a wife. Naomi was a faithful wife. Her name indicates that she was joyful and pleasant. That's what her name means, is pleasant. When Elimelech, her husband, said, "We're moving," Naomi did not put her foot down and say, "Over my dead body." She didn't go kicking, clawing, fighting, and screaming. She submitted to her husband, and she should have. Though it was hard and it changed everything, she was a submissive, pleasant wife, as her name indicates. That was a course in her life as a wife. And then as a mother, of course, we just read she has two sons, and we can relate. The Lord also gave us three sons, Juanetta and I. Boys are not girls, by the way. Neither are girls boys. Sons need different guidance than do girls. I'm saying this, not less, not more, just different. And as a mother, Naomi was well respected, as we can note by the two dear ladies who became the wives of her sons. They loved their mother-in-law. Naomi is only mentioned directly, by the way, in this book of the Bible. But there is every indication that she fulfilled her course. She accomplished that role as a godly mother and mother-in-law. And then a new course began. She was a widow and alone. And she had a new course to fulfill and a most difficult one at that. Verse 5 says, "And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." She was all alone. She faced being a widow for the first time and without two sons. Some of you have faced things like that. What a dramatic change of course that is in your life. And I ache for you that have faced things like that. Sometime during that course of 10 years, Elimelech died, chapter 1, verse 3, and then a few years later, only two verses in our Bibles, her two sons also died. No family was around them from Bethlehem. It was too far. Certainly, they didn't have FaceTime on their cell phones. And likely no one who really could understand, were left in her life at that point. I know she had two daughters-in-law, but they had grown up in Moab. Though she had those two daughters-in-law who really did care, verses 8, 9, and 10 say, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me, and the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And they didn't know about life in Israel, in Bethlehem, but they loved their mother-in-law. Ruth loved Naomi so much that she did leave all behind eventually and accompany Naomi back home. Naomi was left bitterly alone. Look at verses 20 and 21 of that first chapter. "And she said unto the people in Bethlehem, Call me not Naomi," which means pleasant, "call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Mara means bitter. "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And I know that all too commonly, when people face a trauma in life, they blame God for it. Naomi was no different. And yet, it was a course in her life that God allowed to actually bring about his purposes. And that's what the book of Ruth is about. Read it for yourself. It's incredible. So Naomi, verse 22, returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And so we do see these courses in Naomi's life. Her course as a wife, her course as a mother, even the 10-year course in Moab had come to their conclusion, and she had completed those courses. And as we just read, she recognized that it was the Lord who had placed these courses in her life. And easy or hard, all of us as Christians must also recognize that God allows some of these things in our lives as well for our good. You remember what Romans 8, verse 28 says. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God and for those who are the called according to his purpose. They should make us better. And Naomi, eventually, was blessed by all of this. They should make us better, not bitter. Naomi's course, then the sixth one, was as a returning Jewess to Bethlehem. Someone who was of the Jewish religion, returning to Bethlehem to things that had changed in 10 years, but still were familiar. As we have noted, she returned with very little. Back around the Dead Sea, she had to travel around the south end of the Dead Sea from Moab and back up north toward Bethlehem, westward, several days' journey into Palestine and Bethlehem. And then she was among old family and friends and faith. We've read already chapter 1, verses 16 through 22. Now, Naomi started a new course in her life back to a closer walk with the Lord. She became more involved with the Lord God of the Bible. So number 7 of Naomi's courses is a beloved mother-in-law. To be a beloved mother-in-law is almost unheard of. People make all kinds of mother-in-law jokes. Maybe because the tendency of many is to meddle in the lives of their grown and married children. So mother-in-laws sometimes are part of that problem. It's not just the children. And some mother-in-laws seem to drive a wedge between their adult child and his or her spouse. Why? Just to be in control, I guess. That is why God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and also Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 19, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife." Now, Naomi had Ruth, and Ruth looked to her for guidance. and loved her and cared for her. That's the kind of mother-in-law ladies ought to be, because Naomi must have never meddled with Ruth's relationship with Mahlon. Everything points to that being true. What a course to accomplish is to be a respected mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's name was Juanita. And when Juanita and I first got married, Juanita told Juanita, "Don't tell me when you and Matt have a spat. I don't want to know, because I'll side with you and against him." And it was good advice, wasn't it, Juanita? Did we ever have a spat? You can ask Juanita. You did you nod yes? Yes, Naomi was a beloved mother-in-law. What a course to accomplish. And then the eighth one is the respected grandmother and citizen. As we read in chapter 4, verse 13. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 13 in Ruth. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he was in, he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, King David. A new course in Naomi's life as a grandmother, as a citizen, someone that was respected by the community. Boaz, by the way, married her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and of course, Ruth's first husband, Mahlon, had passed away, and the Bible indicates that she was free to remarry because he had passed away. And Boaz was a near kinsman of Naomi's, and the Lord blessed them with a son, Naomi's grandson, if you will. Naomi's course as a grandmother now, and obviously a respected citizen of Bethlehem, was now underway. She was in a new course in life. You know, as grandparents, Juanita and I have, along with many of you, said, if we had known how wonderful grandchildren could be, we would have had them first, right? And ladies, moms, grandparents, number eight was not her last and final course in life. It wasn't. Chapter 4, verse 17 is the last direct mention of Naomi in our Bibles, but as far as we can tell, she had long before this decided to finish, to accomplish, to complete each and every course of her life well. The Apostle Paul similarly said later, of course, in the New Testament, that he desired to finish his course, implying well before God. What did she do, Naomi, do in the years that followed? Well, we can only surmise that. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us more. Likely, she continued in the direction which she had chosen earlier in her life and was part of the godly heritage of Obed, Jesse, King David, and eventually Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the lineage of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, what is your course in life right now? You may have children. By the way, children, obey your parents. It's the first command with promise in the Bible. If you do so, you'll live longer, or some say your parents will let you live. Children, that's a course in life. As far as school, finish all your courses. Finish them. Don't start and then quit or give up. You may be an employer or an employee. Honor God in that career, in that course that the Lord has placed before you. And that is your choice. He gives you that choice and how you accomplish those courses. How about parents? Raise your children, parents, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is your course as parents. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Husbands, you have a course. Love your wives. Get to know them, according to 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, be God-honoring helpmeet or helpers for your husbands. Grandparents, uncles, aunts, singles, rich, poor, healthy. Well, you get the picture. Maybe you need to choose to return to the Lord and seek His help to finish this course in your life well, in a way that honors the Lord God Himself. I don't know what that means to you, but you know, and God knows. You can make that decision right now and follow through with it throughout this course and the next one that God places before you. Father God, thank you for the mothers that have been such a part of our lives, but we realize that motherhood is just one of many courses in life. Each of us have a course before us. Oh, Father God, if it's not one that pleases you, may we somehow start a new course right away, one that is pleasing in your sight, one where we follow your teachings in your word and also honor you in the way we think and talk and act in this life. And Father God, I ask you that you would use us in the lives of others, that we would accomplish that course as well, and that we would finish each course well before you in a way that pleases you. Father God, I know that some may be struggling right now in some area, and I ask you that you would give them the strength that they need to do what you'd have them to do. As we've already considered, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If somebody is not in Jesus Christ, has not received him as their personal Savior, all of this would be basically impossible to accomplish without the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you that they would consider their eternal state. If they need Jesus as Savior, Father God, I ask you that today they would make sure of that, maybe by talking to me or someone else here. Father God, I also ask you that you would guide us this afternoon, that whatever course in life we are in right now, we would honor you and please you in it and through it, and complete it in a way that is best for all, especially you. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Open your songbooks to God Be the Glory, number 79. Let's stand as we sing this song and then are dismissed. Number 79, To God Be the Glory.
God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing to Jesus, the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great thing he hath done.
Give him the glory throughout the week ahead.